Welcome to Penalty Box Radio Live, presented by Salus Realty Group. Salus Realty Group, your premier destination for Nashville, Tennessee real estate. I'm your host, Sean Smith. Joining me tonight, Ann Kimmel, also of Penalty Box Radio. Ann, how are you?
I'm doing great. Like, very excited to be here, excited to join y'all.
Well, I'm happy to have you. We didn't really get to discuss this, you know, the last time we had a show here, but we've welcomed Ann aboard as a writer to Penalty Box Radio. Very excited to have her. Of course, Ann and I go way back to the On the Forecheck days, and then went a few different locations and was always looking for and hoping for a chance to work together again. And with Alex going to the Tennessean, it was a perfect opportunity to bring Ann aboard, and I'm really excited about everything that she is bringing to the team. I'm glad to have her here to talk with us tonight, because this, Ann, it is our trade deadline extravaganza. Now, you just heard Max on the last hour talk about a trade deadline special. This isn't a special.
Mm-mm.
This is an extravaganza.
Like, I feel like there should be hand gestures with it, like jazz hands. This is an extravaganza. Like, this is a whole presentation.
Well, I had a dance routine ready, but there's limitations on this camera. So if I got up to shimmy, there would be problems. Plus, nobody wants to see that as well.
Oh, I don't know.
I'm pretty sure.
I'd pay.
What?
I'd pay to see that.
Well, special guest appearance by our producer, Connor Newt. Very excited to have him here. We'll talk about that after the show, Connor. That's weird, but whatever. Let's move on. It's the trade deadline extravaganza. And Ann, I'll tell you, there are days as someone covering a professional sports team that are stressful.
Mm-hmm.
Today is one of those days. Would you agree?
Oh, my gosh, yes. I really was responsible for none of the decisions, and I'm completely exhausted. So hats off to Barry Trotz, who I hope is napping right now.
I hope so. We know Yakov Trenin had his nap before he found out about his trade, which we'll talk about here on the Trade Deadline Extravaganza, a literal smorgasbord of trade talk. So we're going to, of course, discuss all the moves that Barry Trotz made for the Predators, other major moves around the league, if we have time. I want to say I started writing these notes before the deadline closed, so there's a lot more action toward the end there for the Preds. And, of course, don't forget the main event 3-on-3 draft at the end of the show. So let's get things started off quickly, and I'm going to give you a puck drop topic that I think you're going to like.
Oh, I bet I am.
Okay. So here it is. Dante Fabbro, Alex Carrier. You can only choose one. Who do you choose and why?
Okay, this is a ridiculous question. This is like asking me, like, who is my favorite child, Dante Fabbro or Alexander Carrier? This is a tough one. If you really want a serious answer, I would probably choose Dante Fabbro because he's playing with Roman Josi and we're seeing how that is going. But, you know, I also feel like it would be very Yoko Ono of me to break up Lauzon and Carrier, but I would go Fabbro.
There's a very strong, like, I don't know what it is. It seems like every season there's just a pair of best friends on the team.
Oh, and, I know.
And you see them getting along so well together and having such a good time. And they just and like with Carrier and Lauzon, they're both French Canadians. They probably like have a private language that only they understand. I'm assuming it's French.
I'm assuming.
But they have a good time. I noticed, I don't remember which game it was, but I remember that Carrier went to the box and Lauzon was out there killing the penalty. And I felt like he just kept looking over at the box, like, you okay in there, buddy? Except he is probably thinking it again in French. But that makes it hard. But I'm going to agree with you, Ann.
Yeah.
I know that Alex normally would lure me into this trap of answering a question one way, and then he'd just pull the rug out from underneath me. But I'm going to tell you, I agree. Fabbro, and I know he's gotten he's drawn the ire of a lot of Preds fans. And I don't know why. It doesn't make sense to me. It's something that's often discussed. I've always said, look, he's had to do all of his developing under the NHL lens.
100%.
There's been no AHL time. It's you're going from college to the NHL and playoffs really quickly after that move, and all of his little mistakes that he's made have been televised, and that's
yeah.
just people can see it. You know, you've got guys making mistakes at the AHL level all the time. Not a lot of people are watching that also cover this team as closely as they do. And I think it's unfortunate that he's kind of been the victim of that. But I too would take Fabbro. I think he's an outstanding puck mover. He's got strong defensive abilities, and he's the guy that can do what he needs to do in the back to let Roman Josi go do what he needs to do in the offensive zone. And I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Again, I would say I'm not trying to take anything away from Carrier.
Absolutely not. Yeah, and I agree. You've got to love that Lazon-Carrier pairing. They're obviously doing a lot of things really, really well. They're complementing each other. You see both of them growing in their game as they play together.
Yeah.
But, man, when you've got somebody that's playing really well with Roman Josi, you do not want to upset that apple cart.
No. And if you recall, the beginning of last season, there was a lot of growing pains with who's going to play with Josi. And it was kind of back and forth between a few guys, and you finally found some stability. But I think at this point you've got Fabbro paired with him. I think that's what you want going forward. I think that combo works really well. So before we get into the heavy, heavy trade talk, because mm-hmm. Look, we need a palate cleanser. Max just talked about trades for an hour. That's great. We're going to go in a little bit more detail, I think, and what these moves mean. But, you know, look, the Preds, they had a lot go on between our last show and this show. Of course, it's not been a week. It's been about a week and a half. Preds had four games.
Yeah.
6-1 win at home against Minnesota. And then follow that up with a 5-1 win at home versus Colorado. What happened in that game that was exciting, Anne. Do you want to tell me about it?
Oh my gosh, it was really amazing. Got to see Cody Glass not only double his goal count for the season, but he just decided to get a hat trick, and it was absolutely fantastic.
I tell you what, there is, if you cover a team long enough, mm-hmm. right? If you pay attention to a team long enough, and especially if you pay close attention, there's stories like this that happen every now and then, and watching this kind of journey that I think
yes.
Cody Glass has been on since he was acquired by the team. You really saw that pay off emotionally and, of course, on the score sheet against Colorado. And that was the eighth win in a row of the win streak. And what I think was most impressive about that was, you know, there'd been a lot of talk that a lot of the teams they'd been beating, yeah, they'd won against a few tough teams, but Colorado, you're going to have to really, you know, show your stuff if you want to get by them. And they did it in a very commanding fashion. And, of course, Glass's three goals really helped out a lot in that. But they followed that up, unfortunately, with a 4-3 overtime loss against Montreal. Not what you want to see, Anne.
No, and curse those boards, to quote a famous Avalanche commentator. Yeah, that whole game, you know, in every game I kind of watch what's the pivot point. And
right.
the most odd pivot point in that Montreal game was that quick second goal off of the Glass that kind of went in where Saros was behind the net like, hey, where's the puck?
Right.
You know, right in front of you. Yeah, so that was a little bit of a tricky game for the Predators. But those games are difficult when you have a team that maybe isn't pulling your best out of you,
right.
You can maybe not play your best. So I think it was a good cautionary tale. They got a point out of it. So we want to, you know, say they still have a point streak
point
going. Point streak.
And really, I mean, look, of course, they follow that up with a 4-2 win at home versus Buffalo with the Forsberg hat trick. And not to take any discussion away from Forsberg, but he's done that 9 times.
Right. Been there.
It's exciting. It's special. But it's happened 9 times.
Right.
So I don't want to spend as much time talking about it. But I think the thing for me is you look at the end result of those 10 games. There's mm-hmm. 20 points available. They got 19 of them.
Yeah.
And this point streak, right, this point streak really represents that change in mindset that Barry Trotz talked about today. And that's what kind of pushed him to have the trade deadline that the Predators had. And I think it's important that we understand that this win streak interrupted. How about that?
There you go.
We can rephrase things. We can rename them however we want. This interrupted win streak.
I like that one.
Things weren't looking so hot in that probably had things continued the way they were going, the trade deadline would have looked a lot different. And there would have been a lot of players packing their bags and heading to other arenas to play for other teams. But that's not what happened. You know, this win streak, I mean, really, really pretty crazy to think about the turn of events. We keep going back to this U2 concert, and I love it because it's fun to kind of pick on U2 after they gave us that album for free.
Know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
I think, you know, that still shows up for some reason. I've deleted it. There it is again. Mm-hmm. I can't get rid of it. But this U2 concert, I hate going back to it over and over again because it seems like that players-only meeting from last season
or
the season before, the closed-door meeting, and it's tired of hearing about this. But that really represents a turning point for this team, where this team's gone from they're not going to make the playoffs, pieces are getting sold off, to, oh, wow, big-time interrupted win streak here, and – they're not. Again, I don't think that Trotz made huge splashes. He didn't. He didn't just sell the farm or bring in a bunch of top number one guys that were going to come in and be the difference makers. But he definitely went from being a seller to a buyer, and I think that's what you really have to consider. And there's one thing I do want to talk about before we go to break, just to kind of get this out there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the first dominoes, I think, that fell for the Predators was the Tommy Novak extension.
It's Tommy time.
It's Tommy time. And this is the time on the show when we talk about Tommy Novak. It's one of my favorite times. But he signed a three-year deal worth $3.5 million per year, a total of $10.5 million for that contract. And really, in being able to get that deal done, I just want to say, I think, you know, we talked on the show before, $4 million was a big ask. I'd see some people go as high as $4.5 million. I think $3.5 million is a good deal. I think 3 years is right. As we'll talk about a little bit later, they really are going to have to do some cost controlling here soon. And so I think this is a deal that gives Novak some good money and also saves the team a little bit of money and allows them to do the other things they need to do moving forward.
Yeah, I agree. I like this deal. I like the term. And, you know, I like, you know, $3.5 million, absolutely can live with that. I know four and a half people were kind of squawking about. I think it's a good faith offer for Novak. And I also think he's got more. Like, I think in 3 years, we're going to see even more from Tommy Novak. I really think there is more growth in his game. And we've seen it recently. I think there's more there. So I like this. I think this is a guy you put some faith and some money behind.
I'm with you, and I'll tell you, if that's the case, there'll be a lot more Tommy time coming up, time for Tommy Talk, and we'll be doing a lot of discussion about Tommy Novak. But after the break, we're going to talk about all the deals that Barry Trotz made today. But first, Preds fans, ready for the face-off? Just like hockey, home buying is all about strategy and timing. Salus Realty Group knows this game well. They're the MVPs of Nashville real estate, getting you the win with every transaction. Find your champion property at salusrealtygroup.com. Salus Realty Group, the power play for your home search. Welcome back to Penalty Box Radio Live. Penalty Box Radio is brought to you by Truvo Sports Laundry, Nashville's only mobile sports laundry service that uses ozone technology to clean the smelliest, dirtiest sports gear such as hockey and football pads. The O3 process kills 98% of bacteria and 100% of viruses. If you've got a pile of nasty, filthy, stinky sports gear, either because you play rec leagues and can't be bothered to clean it, or you have teenagers, then go to TruvoSports.com and sign up for a cleaning today. They'll come to your house and everything. Truvo Sports Laundry, Nashville's only mobile sports laundry service. Welcome back to Penalty Box Radio. I'm Sean Smith, your host, and with me tonight is Ann Kimmel of Penalty Box Radio as well. And we're having a trade deadline extravaganza.
Mm-hmm. Extravaganza.
And before we really get into the players that came into Nashville, we're going to have to talk about one of the players that left Nashville. And it's a little bit bittersweet.
Yeah, it is. This one is a little bit tough.
I think Yakov Trenin is someone that we both enjoyed talking to in the locker room.
Yes.
I think once we learned that Trenin was an adventurous cook.
Yeah, that turned on me, though, because he did talk about making lamb one day, and my family raised sheep. So we had a moment of we didn't see eye to eye on the cooking. But other than that, delightful fellow.
What was the purpose of raising sheep?
Wool.
Oh, well. I mean, you can eat them, too.
I mean, people do eat them. But delicious. When you've named them, you absolutely don't want to serve them. I'm just throwing it out there.
I don't know. Is it that bad to eat something with a name?
Yes, yes, it is.
Okay, well, we'll stop there and we'll move on because we're talking about Yakov Trenin. And Trenin was, of course, on an expiring contract that was going to turn him into an unrestricted free agent. And he was traded out of Nashville along with Graham Sword, who was an overager defenseman in the WHL, sent to Colorado. And the Preds got back in this deal a third-round pick in the 2025 draft and, strangely, another junior overager defenseman in the WHL, Jeremy Hansel. I don't know if I'm saying that exactly right, but I'm doing my best.
I think it's great.
And so, you know, really, if you look at this deal in the context of what it allowed them to do, this just created space.
Yeah.
This created a spot on the roster, which we will talk about how it got filled here in a minute. And I think it's interesting. Let me get your opinion on this. Sword, they seemed like they liked Sword. Eric seemed to like Sword.
Yeah.
But they bring in Hansel. And Hansel had just signed his entry-level contract with Colorado, I guess the day before this deal happened.
Yeah.
And so there have been questions maybe that Sword didn't want to sign with Nashville, but I don't know why that would be the case. But what do you make of this? You know, talk to me about Yakov Trenin leaving. I mean, obviously it's a great opportunity in Colorado. Maybe they'll re-sign him next year. I don't know. But what are we losing? What's gone from the Preds lineup with Trenin exiting?
Yeah, I do think you have to be cognizant of what is not going to be on the roster without Yakov Trenin. And of course, the first thing you think of is his physicality. This is a guy who, you know, plays with a lot of, lot of physicality, a lot of hits. He's a tough guy to play against. You have to like kind of his speed. It may not be the most graceful looking skating stride, but he gets where he needs to get. The other thing that you can't underestimate with Yakov Trenin was his play on the penalty kill.
Yeah.
And I loved watching him on the penalty kill. I always referred to him as that pesky younger brother where, you know, he just was always harassing on the penalty kill. And so you've got to factor in like, hey, the penalty kill hasn't been great this season and you're getting rid of one of your better penalty killers. That's not nothing, Nashville.
No, it's not.
You know.
But let's say this too. What's also not been super great this season when it comes to special teams?
Yeah.
The power play as well. And I think maybe the Preds felt, Barry Trotz felt, Andrew Brunette felt that there were other players in the organization already that could fill that role on
right.
the penalty kill. I will say, too, one of the things I enjoyed about Trenin, you mentioned his penalty killing. I enjoyed his forechecking. I thought he was a tenacious forechecker. Really, and I think he stood out, especially last season as a forechecker. They've kind of added some pieces, and some other players have stepped up that really do a good job forechecking as well. But definitely be missed on the penalty kill.
Yeah. For sure.
And, of course, the goal celebration, the bringing it to the people, the jump into the glass.
I always wanted the glass to break, and now, Sean, we will not have that.
Well, we might. It just might not be for
we'll
the
be
Predators.
There you go. There you go.
Glass might break somewhere else with the launch of one Yakov Trenin into it. So I guess the next big move we need to talk about here.
Mm-hmm.
This is a player they're bringing into the team.
Yeah.
And let's talk about what went out. How did they get this? They sent a fifth-round pick in the draft this summer to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And in exchange, they got Anthony Beauvillier.
Yes.
Talk to me about Beauvillier. What do you know? What can you say?
Yeah, I actually am very intrigued by this move. You know, kind of a younger player, 26 years old. The thing that I think is very interesting to keep in mind, this is a player that has a history with Barry Trotz. Barry Trotz knows this player. He played for the New York Islanders, spent a lot of time with Trotz. One of the things that Barry Trotz pointed out in the press conference this afternoon about Beauvillier that I think people need to kind of file away as important is Trotz said he thinks he played 44 postseason games. with Beauvillier. And if you, you know, YouTube this guy, the video that's going to come up first is going to be an overtime winner in Game 6 against Tampa Bay Lightning. I think it was in 2021. So this is a guy who has a lot of postseason experience. This is a guy who handles those big moments well. And, you know, a little bit of a younger guy. Are his statistics maybe going to knock your socks off for this season? No, probably not. But this is somebody who has had a 20-plus, you know, goal seasons before.
Right.
And I think this is good potential. I think as you move Yakov Trenin out, you're moving out some physicality. If you're bringing in Anthony Beauvillier, what you're getting is you're getting some speed. You're getting a little bit more scoring pop. You know, he even said, like, look, I'm going to bring an offensive upside. I'm going to bring a work ethic. I'm going to bring speed. Let's see what that does. I think this move is going to benefit, you know, some of the players around him. I think it's going to tell you more about some of the players around him as much as it is about him.
Right. And like we said before, with Trenin going out, that is a role they feel like they can replace within
yes.
the system already. This allows the team to bring in somebody with more offensive upside. And the speed's a good thing, too. And I think it's interesting. He's 26.
Yeah.
He's not as old as you'd think he is when you hear that he's had that many playoff games.
Right.
And I think the other thing, you know, like you said, the stats this season aren't going to knock your socks off. We're talking about 4 goals, 10 assists. But something else to consider, Nashville is going to be his third team this season.
Right.
He started with Vancouver, went to Chicago, now he's in Nashville. I think ideally you're hoping that he can, and again, Barry Trotz is not the coach of the Nashville Predators. He's a general manager, but you're hoping that Trotz knows how this guy, what makes this guy tick, what makes him work, and your hope is that you can bring him in, he just fits into the system. Again, what you've got to remember, and I know you know this, Ann, I'm talking to the listeners out there, you've got to remember that a lot of the guys on the team right now were already here
mm-hmm.
when Brunette took over.
Right.
They were already here when Trotz took over. There is a system that Brunette wants to run. And a lot of the players that are on the team have had to learn that system. They've had to adapt to that system. This seems like a move where they're bringing in somebody that they know can play in that system.
100%.
They
yeah.
know what to expect out of Beauvillier, and they're saying, we can bring him in. He can slot right in. He's going to play the type of game we want him to play. And I think that's important to remember when you talk about this move and you talk about, well, you know, his numbers aren't good. He's been playing with the Blackhawks. Nothing has been good.
Exactly. Nothing has been good. You know, I was kind of looking at his stats and I, you know, plus minus, is it a stat? Is it not a stat? His plus minus is atrocious. Welcome to the Chicago Blackhawks. Like, I don't think you need to panic about the statistics not being what you want to be. And I think because of exactly what you said, you want to bring some guys into this system who are going to be built for what Andrew Brunette wants to do. And that is speed. You've got some really good young playmakers on the Nashville Predators right now.
Yep.
Now, give them a finisher. You know, and look, love Yakov Trenin. He definitely has a very specific skill set, you know, a la, you know, Taken. He's got a very specific set of skills. But I don't know that those fit exactly with what Andrew Brunette wanted to do. Bring in somebody who you have a bit of a history with, somebody who has some speed, somebody who is a shooter. Put him with some guys who are pass first, playmaking fellas, and see what happens. I think you're going to get more from this team with a move like this than you think.
I'm excited to see what happens.
Me too.
And the thing to remember, Trotz mentioned that he still wanted the team to be hard to play against.
Mm-hmm.
But you've got to, you know, the system that Hines had in place was meant to grind the other team and wear them down and make them fight for every inch they could get on the ice. This is not necessarily a situation where Brunette wants the same thing. Trotz wants to be hard to play against. Brunette wants to be hard to play against, but for different reasons, right?
Right.
It's not because we're going to beat you to death and make you fight your way across the ice. It's because we're going to be physical, but we're going to be fast, and you're going to have to keep up with us.
100%. The wearing down is going to come in a very different way. It's not going to be that physicality. It's going to be, you're going to chase us for the puck.
And that's a different look. I mean, that's not a look you're used to in Nashville. It's an exciting look, in my opinion. That's the run-and-gun style of hockey is exciting. You want to see that. I think Beauvillier can bring an element of that. I think he can kind of open up, like you said, the skill set of some of the other players that he'll be playing with. I think things will be good. I do want to say, of course, unfortunate before we go to break, that Trennan had to leave. That was my father-in-law's favorite player. Loved what he brought to the ice. And it really, you know, he was a player that could bring fans into the game, I think.
Yes.
That maybe, you know, for a variety of reasons. But that hard-hitting physicality is something that a lot of people who haven't watched a lot of hockey before can just kind of fall in with and go, oh, I like this. I want to watch more of this.
Yes.
So, we're going to go to break, but before we do, as we look ahead to the next Predator Showdown, it's the perfect time to plan your future in Nashville. Salus Realty Group is ready to assist, ensuring your real estate goals are met with the determination of a playoff chase. Visit salusrealtygroup.com and let's start mapping out your game plan. Salus Realty Group, where every closing is a championship victory. Welcome back to Penalty Box Radio Live. Penalty Box Radio Live is brought to you by the Music City Marauders. The Music City Marauders have announced their spring tryout dates. Spring tryouts will be held April 29th through May 2nd. This is the chance your hockey player has been waiting for, to try out for a competitive youth hockey team. I can speak from experience. This is an incredible program and a great opportunity to train with great coaches and play against some of the best teams in the country. Head over to www.musiccitymarauders.com to sign up for tryouts today. And we're back.
We are back for the extravaganza.
The extravaganza continues.
Come on.
Now, I want to point out, over the break, our producer did try to get me to dance, and it didn't work. I can't be bought.
I did not. Fake news. Don't listen to him.
No. Well, if there were cameras on you, then they'd know that you're again trying to persuade me to do my shimmy. But it's not happening. I'm sorry.
Not today, anyway.
Give you enough time, you'll wear me down. All right, listen. We've got to talk about the trade deadline.
Right.
It's exciting. So one of the things Barry Trotz has done since he's been with the Predators is he's been willing to pick guys up off of the waiver wire. And it's interesting that the most recent one of these has come right in the middle of the trade deadline. And this is Jarrett Anderson Dolan, which a lot of people are referring to him with just his initials JAD, which I assume means we just call him Jad.
I'm 100% here for Jad.
Okay. So Jad was claimed off of waivers from the Los Angeles Kings, which would be the second Kings waiver wire claim the Predators have made this season. Again, Trotz calls these free looks at players. This free look has actually made the trade deadline a little more complicated due to roster spots, because taking a guy off of the waiver wire puts him on your roster, and there's only a certain number of players you can have on the roster up until the trade deadline hits. And so that, I think, that necessitated moving someone else out, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But any idea on Jarrett Anderson Dolan? What do you think Trotz is thinking here?
I really think this is one of those, you know, we've heard something, we've seen a little something. I think this is one of those where Trotz is really leaning into his scouting reports.
Okay.
You know, he spoke very highly of the information that he had, you know, at his presser today about the scouting reports on some of these players. I think Jad is a perfect example of that. 2017 second round pick, you know, let's see what he has. This is again, one of the things I love about this trade deadline is Barry Trotz embraced the low risk, potentially decent payoff, you know,
right,
way of navigating this. And I think Anderson Dolan is definitely one of those. He's a forward. You know, he's played, he has 4 points in 30 games with the Kings. He spent a lot of time with the Ontario Reign in the AHL, and that team has been very, very good
recently.
So this is somebody I think, you know what, let's just see what he has. He does have a very little, but he does have playoff experience. He played for the Kings in some playoff games last year against Edmonton. So, you know what? Give this kid a chance. This is one of those situations where Barry Trotz has the ability to say, hey, come in and show us what you've got. It costs the Predators next to nothing, hurts no one, and you can find a diamond in the rough doing this. So I'm 100% here for Jad. Let's see what he can do.
Let's see what Jad can do. Nothing ventured, nothing gained.
100%.
Right? And at the same time, it doesn't cost much of anything. Let's see what happens. Right. So the next big move, and this was a big one.
Yeah.
I'd heard that Jason Zucker was sitting due to trade related purposes, and this is a player that, I'll be honest, I've always thought would be interesting to have in Nashville.
Right.
And of course he's coming from Arizona. And the Preds only had to send a sixth-round draft pick in this off-season's draft, and I think the reason that the cost was so low is because the Preds took on all of his salary, $5.3 million, which they can do right now. And of course, contract expires at the end of the season, so there's no risk in taking this on. They know that unless they want to, they don't have to keep him beyond this season. Numbers on the season, 9 goals, 16 assists, 25 points overall. And Barry Trotz in the press conference today said that, and I'm going to ask you for some clarity here, mm-hmm. okay? But he said that Zucker is someone who's just, anytime they've played against him, has been a pain in the area we're not going to talk about. What area is Barry Trotz talking about?
You know, I appreciate the fact that he kept it very professional and very vague. There was no gesturing to any particular area. I think we can all assume he's talking about neck.
Oh.
I thought
it might have been the boards or the corners.
Or that. But yeah, it was, you know, Barry Trotz was like, look, you know, I may not know a lot, but I know this guy has annoyed me.
Right.
And if you can identify that as a coach, you might be interested in that as a general manager.
Well, and when you can get someone that you think is that big of a nuisance on your team.
Come on.
That's one less person. I remember when the Preds picked up Mark Borowiecki, and I believe Roman Josi made the comment that he was just really glad to know that he didn't have to play against him anymore. That tells you something about the player. And in this case, if the general manager is saying every time I've had to play against him, and you got to think that that's as a coach, as a general manager, and a lot of different teams, he's been a problem. So let's bring this good problem in to the team. How do you think he's going to be used, Dan?
Yeah, I think this is going to be really interesting. This is another player where I feel like you're getting some, you know, getting some veteran experience. He's 32 years old, which I know kind of raises the hackles for some people. Why are you bringing in a 32-year-old, even for this little bit, when you've got these young guys down in Milwaukee? I think you're bringing him in for very similar reasons to Anthony Bouvier. I think you are looking at putting him with some players to maybe give them a little more offensive pop. So looking at a middle six position for this guy, I think, you know, this is somebody who's going to be able to capitalize on playmaking around him. And again, you know, you've got some experience. And that's one thing, if you put him with a Tommy Novak, if you put him with a Luke Evangelista, you know, I'm thinking this is somebody who's going to finish the opportunities that are presented to him. So, you know, I'm looking at a middle six role for him. This is somebody, too, Bruno has a past with. You know, he spent a lot of time in Minnesota when Brunette was in the front office. So this is somebody that he knows. And one of the things I think that Trotz and Bruno were very intentional about this trade deadline, wisely so, was they were not going to bring anyone into that locker room that was going to do anything to what they have going. And I think that's so important. You know, there's a different, and I hate to say vibe, you know, but there is a different camaraderie. There is a different group respect. There is a different vibe, for lack of a better word. I think in the locker room, and I think they were very cognizant of, you know, we're not just going to go out there and bring in anybody to fill a hole on a roster. We're going to be real careful who we're bringing in, who's going to sit down on these benches in this locker room and talk to our young players, who's going to model, you know, what it takes. So I like this. I like this pickup. I know some people maybe didn't want to see an older guy come on, but I think Zucker's going to be an interesting piece.
Well, I say this to anyone who's frustrated with Zucker's age, and I don't really understand, because you've got a couple of guys playing on the top line with Philip Forsberg who clearly are a little bit older, but they're having incredible seasons.
Right.
Now, is that because they're playing with Philip Forsberg? Is this the unique chemistry that the three of them have? Is it Brunette's system that's allowing them to do this? I'm not really sure, but here's my thing. I know that somebody in their early to mid-30s is not necessarily going to come onto this team and be an albatross around their neck.
I mean,
there's good potential here for these two players, or for this player specifically. You said he's 32, correct?
Right.
Goodness
old
gracious.
In hockey years. Old in hockey years. It's like dog years.
Yeah. There's
not the same.
But, again, you're getting incredible seasons out of Ryan O'Reilly. You're getting an incredible season out of Gustav Nyquist. I don't see a problem in, again, what did they have to give up to get Zucker on the team? A sixth-round pick?
Yeah.
I mean, that's – let's be realistic. I mean, that's not much to give up.
No.
You didn't have to give up a young player. You didn't have to give up a prospect. You just gave up a draft pick. And again, it's an experiment, and if it doesn't work out, then you let him walk in free agency at the end of the season, and you don't worry about it too much. And I think the biggest thing for me, and we'll talk about this a little bit more when we come back from the break, and we're not going to break right now, but in a minute here. Trotz has had to be very mindful of the salary cap and what it's going to be doing to this team over the next couple of seasons, because let's not leave this out. Let's point out the fact that there's a lot of money in dead cap space.
Yes.
Coming up in the next two seasons with the Duchesne buyout and, of course, the retained salary on the newest member of the Lehigh Valley Phantoms, Ryan Johansson. As much as that's a concern, I think he's addressed it by not bringing in players that you're going to have to overpay or you're going to have to keep for more than the rest of the season. And again, that doesn't mean that they're not going to be here next season. If they make a name for themselves, make a spot for themselves on the team, that's something they can negotiate when the time comes at a cost that's friendly to the team, I would assume. So that being said, those contracts and a couple of other moves that we're going to talk about when we come back from break will kind of lend themselves a little bit more to this part of the discussion, which we'll get into when we come back. And of course, after that, and I'm very excited, we'll have the main event 3-on-3 draft. Very exciting draft this time around. I think everybody can get in on it. But before we go to break, of course, the show's almost over, but your real estate journey is just beginning. With Salus Realty Group, you're always on the winning team. Their dedication to clients is as relentless as the Preds on a power play. Lace up for your real estate play at salusrealtygroup.com. Salus Realty Group, where every deal is a hat trick. This segment of Penalty Box Radio Live is brought to you by Main Event of Murfreesboro. Main Event just opened their newest location in Murfreesboro, and let me tell you, it's worth the drive. They've got everything you need to have fun. Bowling, billiards, laser tag, a full menu, full service bar, and a whole lot of games. This brand new facility has plenty of room for your family, team, or corporate event. Ask about the Penalty Box Radio special when signing up for a year-end sports party or other event. For some extra fun on us, head over to mainevent.com for more information today. And it's almost time for the main event 3-on-3 draft. But before we get to that, I do have to make a correction. I spoke out of turn. I made a grievous error, and I must correct it. The newest member of the Lehigh Valley Phantoms is not Ryan Johansson.
It is not.
He is relatively new. It's important to point out that Denis Gurianov was traded to the Flyers organization. We're assuming this was the roster spot that needed to be opened up that I mentioned earlier. They sent him to the Lehigh Valley Phantoms. And of course, Wade Allison comes over from Lehigh Valley to most likely the Admirals. Of course, Milwaukee's social team went ahead and put out a picture with his locker all ready to go with his jersey there. Looked pretty cool, so I'm assuming that's where he's going. So we've got that deal, and then there's three contracts that Trotz mentioned that we want to talk about before we get to our three-on-three draft. The first one, of course, Mark Jankowski, Janko, as they call him, signed a two-year contract, $1.6 million, so that's $800,000 per season for two seasons. Yep. I like what Jankowski's been bringing to the team. I think it's cost-controlled.
Yes.
That's team-friendly. You know what you're getting out of Jankowski. It's not going to cost a lot to keep him around. And, of course, Dante Fabro on a one-year, $2.5 million contract, which is what he was already getting. As we discussed at the puck drop, Fabro would be both of our choices in the Sophie's choice of Fabro or Carrier. Not an easy decision, but I assume that this means that they're not likely to have Carrier back next season. I know there are some guys down in Milwaukee they think are NHL ready.
I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with the blue line. Barry Trotz did say that he is still talking with Carrier, talking with Carrier's group, still kind of working towards that to see what happens. But again, you look at what do the Nashville Predators have in that defensive pipeline. You've got Spencer Stastny just sitting down there, you know, and doing great things. But this is a guy who's ready to move up and continue his growth in the NHL. Mark Delgaiso.
Yes.
The Nashville Predators want to get another look at him at the NHL level. And I think this is another player who has earned it. So it's going to be very interesting to see what Barry Trotz decides to do with Carrier when you've got these two players who are really ready to be up here in the NHL. Let's see if he gets a deal. You know, if it's a good price for Carrier, maybe he re-signs him. But you have to wonder, what does that mean for Spencer Stastny's development? What does that mean for Mark Delgaiso's development? These are guys that are ready to be up here.
And we've got to point out, too, just because this sounds terrible, but it's also true. This is a business at the end of the day, correct? Just because there are guys in Milwaukee that seem like they're ready for the NHL doesn't mean that they're going to play in the NHL for Nashville. They could become a trade piece. They could become something that the Preds trade away in order to get something else they need. And I throw that out there because it's important to remember that just because they think Delgaiso is ready for the NHL or Livingstone or Stastny is ready to come up, those are still tradable pieces.
I hate it, but you are not wrong.
So just bear that in mind as we continue down this road of building out this team. And, of course, one more contract, and I'm going to let Ann tell you all about this one.
Yeah, you know that I am 100% here for this. This is Gustav Davids Gregels, who is, look, he's a Latvian, and I'm here for all the Latvians in the NHL. My daughter's Latvian, so we always root for these guys. This is a goaltender. He has been back and forth between the Atlanta Gladiators and with the Milwaukee Admirals this year. They signed him to a one-year, two-way contract worth $775,000 at the NHL level for the remainder of the season. Really like this guy. And of course, I would cheer for him anyway because he's Latvian, but excited to see him around, excited to see him maybe get some more time in Milwaukee, depending on, again, what happens with goaltending at the Nashville level.
Oh, boy. Which, I mean, notably, UC Saros, Kevin Lankinen, still Nashville Predators.
Were you surprised by Kevin Lankinen still being here?
Yes.
Me too.
I really thought that would be a piece that could fetch a decent return. Mm-hmm. As much as I say that, I'm also not upset that he's still here. He seems like a wonderful guy, and I think he's a great goaltender. So
yeah.
But Ann, you know, it's been fun talking about the Predators. It's been fun talking about the trade deadline. But the end of the extravaganza here is, of course, going to be our main event 3-on-3 draft, and I'm very excited. We have a very exciting topic.
I should say.
And that topic is breakfast foods. Breakfast foods. And if you pay attention to the music that's coming in behind me, I think you'll understand why it was chosen. But Ann, I think just review, we're each going to draft a breakfast food until we each have three. Of course, once one of those foods is off the board, it's off the board. The other player cannot take it. And at the end, when we have our three picks, our producer Connor is going to tell us who the winner of the draft is. And I can already see that maybe I should have done my shimmy
shimmied.
Because then I'd have maybe a little bit of partiality a little bit of bias that would help me here.
That could have gone either way, Sean.
Oh, that's true. Could have gone south. So, Ann, I'm going to let you go first with your first breakfast food. So go ahead and tell me your number one draft pick.
My number one draft pick, I'm getting very specific, and I'm going savory Chick-fil-A chicken bowl.
Oh, wow.
You've got your Chick-fil-A chicken. You've got the circle hash browns, which you know taste better because they are circle shaped. Got some scrambled eggs in there and some cheese. It is just a bowl full of happiness, my friends.
I'll say bowls are very hard to compete with. They're good.
They are.
You just mix so many good things in there. But for me, I'm not going with a combination. I'm going with a very specific breakfast food. And I will go ahead and tell you that a lot of my breakfast foods have names at some point, or at least faces. And I'm going with bacon. Bacon. You can make a lot of things with bacon, but one thing you know you'll make is me happy.
If you knew that pig's name, you would maybe feel different.
What if the pig's name was Happy?
All righty.
Okay. Round two.
Round two. All right, round two, I am going with the ever classy French toast.
Ooh.
But fruit topping, not just, you know, that maple syrup. We're going fruit topping on your French toast.
Which fruit?
Strawberries, preferably.
Strawberries.
Yeah, strawberries on top of that. Yeah. French toast is always a winner. You feel fancy when you eat it.
Okay, that's true. Especially you put a little bit of powdered sugar on there. Makes you feel like you're at a 70s dinner party. All right, let's go round two for me, for Sean. I'm going with Waffle House style hash browns.
Okay.
I don't know. It didn't have a face. It didn't have a name. But they're delicious, and I can't get enough of them.
Okay.
So that's what I'm going with. Waffle House style hash browns. There's a lot of types of hash browns out there, but those little thin sliced straw things,
yeah.
They're just, oh my goodness. That's my second pick. And go on with your final choice.
All right, my final choice. This was really difficult, but I'm going to go sweet with my final choice. And I am somebody who really wants to give a shout out to the cheese Danish.
Oh, wow.
You know, it is not necessarily something you think would be great. You think fruit. You think, cheese Danish with a little bit of icing on that. Come on.
Okay. All right.
It's going to be hard to beat that one.
Final choice.
Mm-hmm.
This is a versatile food here. I'm going with eggs.
Oh.
Eggs. However you want them. So let's review.
That's a little bit cheating. I want to point out because eggs, I mean, that's...
I think it's fine.
All right.
If you hadn't stopped it, they'd have
rules.
Had names. All right. Here we go. Let's review our choices. Ann came in with the savory Chick-fil-A chicken bowl, the French toast with fruit topping, preferably strawberries, and the cheese Danish. I, of course, came in with delicious, delicious bacon, Waffle House hash browns, and the most versatile dish there is, eggs. Connor, what we got?
This might be the hardest draft you've ever thrown at me.
Oh, man.
Nice.
Because I'm hungry.
Okay. Aren't we all?
I gotta go, Ann. The Chick-fil-A won me over. Yep,
that's fine. That's
French toast, I mean, preferably sticks for me.
Oh, yeah, where you can dip them.
But
you're not wrong.
Yeah. But, Sean, I mean, bacon is the most versatile of all. So, I don't know. I feel like everyone's a winner here today, but mostly Ann.
I think we should all go to Waffle House when we're done, except that Connor can't leave. All right, that's our show for tonight. That ends the trade deadline extravaganza. Thanks for listening to Penalty Box Radio Live, presented by Salus Realty Group. Salus Realty Group, your premier destination for Nashville, Tennessee real estate. Also thanks to Truvo Sports Laundry, the Music City Marauders, and Main Event of Murfreesboro. Thank you to Ann for joining me today. We'll see everyone in a week and a half on Wednesday the 20th. And any final words?
No, just great extravaganza. Everybody get some rest.
I feel extravagant. See you on the 20th.